Hello and welcome to The Outer Frame. I'm your host, Jason Sellers, and on today's episode we will be discussing the M. Night Shyamalan film Glass, as well as pitching each other bad movie sequels, or good movie sequels, you never know. But first, I need to pitch you my favorite special guest host from Australia, Philippe Y.
What is up? G'day, crikey, Vegemite.
Other stereotypical
boomerang. and chopsticks, because I'm half Asian. All right.
Salutations to you too, my friend.
Yes. Howdy. How's it going? I tip my hat to you. Yeah.
So how's tomorrow?
How's tomorrow? Tomorrow's looking all right, although my blinds are closed, so I can't even look outside and tell you what's happening. Who knows? The world could be ending right now.
And, that's true. My blinds are also closed. Anyone who's interested. And that's this has been Blind Talk with Philip and Jason.
Yes. I have the Venetian blind. It's actually, I don't even know if that's what it's called.
I have the blinds that come in my apartment. Ooh. And that's what they are. So before we get started discussing Glass, I have a question for you.
For me.
And that question, yes, and that question is, what is the best thing that you've seen recently?
The best thing that I have seen recently, apart from my reflection in the mirror,
that's so funny.
I'm going to say Coco.
All right.
As you take a sip of what could possibly be a hot Coco. Coco.
No, it's water out of my pug cup.
Ah, oh, that's adorable.
Pug life.
Do you want to hold that up so the viewers can see what it looks like?
Oh, no, I don't, because I don't have a camera. Thanks for reminding me.
I have a webcam. To our listeners out there, can you see that?
All right. So, what'd you like about Coco?
Coco. Look, it's a Disney animated movie. So you know all the typical things that you love about Disney. It's a nice story, got a lot of heart. The animation in it is incredible and vibrant. It's just interesting too, because Coco, because I only just saw Coco recently, but Coco came out around the same time as The Book of Life, I think. Mm-hmm. And they both were like this Day of the Dead, Mexican Hispanic movie type. Yeah. I don't know. It's just really weird. It's like Ants and A Bug's Life all over again.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw A Book of Life ages ago, and then this, and obviously they tackled some things kind of similarly, but at the same time too, very different. I liked a lot of the music in it as well. Actually, some nice little buffs and tunes in there. But yeah, no, it was pretty good. If you like Disney animated films, watch it if you haven't
already. So I am going to go ahead and say the best thing that I have seen recently is the original Jurassic Park.
Oh.
I rewatched that, yep. Which is great, because if you've listened to our last episode, you know that my least favorite movie of last year was Jurassic Park The Lost World. No, Fallen Kingdom. I always call it The Lost World. I don't know why. Yeah. Just rolls off the tongue.
Because
they're saying the same damn thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
it's just it blows my mind, because like I've rewatched a lot of the Jurassic Park sequels recently, and they're all so bad. Like I think that for me, that The Lost World is the best out of the sequels.
Yeah.
And including like the Jurassic World and Jurassic World Fallen World.
Yeah. What is it about that? The Lost World, that is it? Is it just more Jeff Goldblum? he just carries the movie?
I mean, there is more Jeff Goldblum.
You know, really, it should just be called Jurassic Park: An Evening with Jeff Goldblum. Like,
no, for me, it's the action sequence where they're holding onto the rope and the bus or whatever. Like, do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, like right at the start when it gets knocked over. The edge.
Yeah.
The cliff or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that there's anything in the other movies that I enjoyed watching as much as that, because like everything else in the other movies, you know, it's either like, you know, that it's not actually happening.
Yes.
And yep. And in that movie, like, I know that clearly that's not actually happening, no, but I know that at some point there, like there were definitely people at some point holding onto a rope in the air.
Could you imagine though how different that would have been if they decided, you know what, we need to green screen all of this. Like, we can't risk the actors' lives even for a moment hanging from a harness.
And I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah. Lost World has some dumb moments in it too. But anyway, I don't know why we're talking about this, but like rewatching the original, like it's so good.
Yeah.
And the special effects in that movie are still way better than or as good as anything that they've done in the future films.
Yeah.
Which is sad because it's
right.
Well, now it should be easier to do it right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I mean there are moments in Fallen Kingdom and in Jurassic World that just look so bad, like, and I don't know, it was great. It was fun to rewatch it and feel like a little kid again and remember, like, oh, that's why this is so good and that's why they keep making these, is because they're trying to recapture the first one.
Well,
and
probably
they,
I don't know,
keep failing.
Yeah, well, probably what's part of it is that they try to, like, I don't know. In a way, the first one was probably grounded because of the limitations that they had. They were like, cool, the most we can do with these special effects is just make dinosaurs real. Like, that's what we want to do. But everything else around that was like, okay, we don't need to get too futuristic. I haven't seen any of the new Jurassic Park movies. I've not felt an inkling of desire to do it yet, particularly with what I've heard. But it just seems like they're just like, well, cool, we have all this technology. Let's, you know, still stay in the realm of what's fantastical and not real. And so it's dinosaurs plus it's the future, so we're, you know, we travel around in balls and
Feels like they have to one up everything,
when really what made it work was that it's like, but no, this feels like it could happen now.
And I mean it's a good story. It's a good movie.
It's just
bigger's not better.
Sometimes
small is better.
And you know, the practical effects side of things, you know, there's always the argument of practical effects versus, you know, using a lot of CGI. Yeah. And like, I don't know, like Mission Impossible Fallout, like that movie, so like, it was great, and I couldn't put my finger on it, and then when I watched a video that was like, it's because Tom
because
Cruise,
they did a lot of it.
Yeah, because Tom Cruise is insane. Like, I knew that he did, you know, that he broke his leg or whatever, but I didn't know that he also did the jump out of the plane and that they did that, you know, however many times. So that's his face in the shot, like, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's that practical versus...
Okay. So...
Sorry.
What... No, it's fine. So what is the worst thing that you've seen recently?
Look, I saw these movies, like, I'm just going to say Logan Lucky. I actually really liked the movie.
Me too.
Yeah, I thought it was. It's just so charming and just really funny, but at the same time too, it was weird. And in a way, I think it kind of ties into how I feel about Glass as well. In that it had everything. You know, it was this great heist movie, but at the same time, it felt like it never peaked anywhere. Like it never, like it never jumped up to like this sort of high tension part. Like it was just chill throughout the whole movie, which, you know, it actually wasn't bad, and it kind of, I don't know, I guess the tone of that movie was that it was this sort of laid back, you know, heist sort of movie.
Country fried heist.
Country fried heist.
I really appreciated it because it, you know, we get so many of these like Oceans type movies, or I guess now it's kind of like the Fast and the Furious movies where they got to steal stuff, and they've got all this high tech equipment, and it was cool to see one that felt realistic, or at least a little realistic,
a bit more grounded.
So, anyway, I will say the worst thing that I've seen, I actually just saw tonight.
Ooh.
It is a movie that just came out called The Prodigy.
Haven't heard anything about it.
And I'm not going to spoil anything because it is still in theaters, but I will say that it, for me at least, I figured out the entire movie and what was going to happen to each one of the characters in the first 30 seconds of the movie. And I had, like, I think I saw a trailer. I don't know. I kind of half remember it.
Yep.
But that being said, I will say that there are some genuinely scary moments in the movie. And
so is it a thriller? Is it a...
It is. It's okay. It's about these parents and their kids acting like a psychopath, and they don't know what's going on. Mm. And it's got kind of like, I don't know, maybe like the Omen type vibes.
Yeah.
But just to be clear, it really is not like a...
Or Hide and Seek.
It doesn't have anything to do really.
Is it called Hide and Seek? The one with Robert De Niro in it?
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and he's got like the messed up kid. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the one thing I will say is that I watched it, like watching it, it felt like I love the Conjuring movies.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I was watching a bad version of the Conjuring.
Yeah.
And like I said, there are some genuinely scary moments. The cast is really good, except for whoever played the dad. He has some jokes in it that are just like nobody in the theater laughed.
Like, wait, was he like being a dad though? Like, were they dad jokes?
No, I don't know. I think they were meant to like get some sort of reaction from the audience.
Okay. Nobody really reacted. Like a bit of levity.
Yeah.
To release some tension and then set you up for another scare.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But so yeah, that was The Prodigy, and it was okay. I mean, I don't know. I think that if you really want to watch it, I recommend the first like hour is pretty good. And
then just turn it off.
Then just turn it off.
Yeah. Play out the rest of the movie in your own head. Yeah.
Yeah. just guess what happens, and whatever you guess is better than what actually happens. All right. So, Glass. The long-awaited, finally a sequel to Unbreakable that I don't know about you, but I saw as a kid and was just enamored with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely and, loved. Yeah, Unbreakable. Fantastic film.
Yeah, no, I've been dying for this movie for a long time, and it just never showed up until now. And I'm just gonna say first impressions for me without getting into spoilers right away.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked, I don't know, like probably the first like 70% of the movie,
mm-hmm.
and then the ending was just like a. Like downhill for me, like, mm-hmm. and I don't know, like there is some good stuff in the movie, and I think there's some stuff that works really well. It's just the logic or the explanation that we receive at the end is so, I don't know, silly maybe.
Yeah.
That it makes it hard. Yeah, it makes it hard to appreciate. It feels a lot like a PS.
Mm.
Instead of a fully developed,
like it should have been like a post credit scene, maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, what were your initial reactions to the movie?
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. Yeah, Unbreakable's great. Loved Split as well, and then was really keen for Glass. Was a bit worried with like how soon it came out as well, though. Like I thought he was going to leave it mm-hmm. for ages and then do something, yeah. But. But, you know, got to give the people what they want, I guess. and yeah, same sort of feelings. Like, I think at the time when I saw the movie, I just enjoyed all of it. I was just, I was invested straight away. Like, I was along for the ride straight away. But yeah, I guess having some time to look back and think about it. One, it made me appreciate some things a whole lot more. But as well, yeah, I think too, sort of that ending, same sort of feeling in that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know, some of the ending I liked, but I guess, yeah.
Well, we can get into that like real quick. I had something I was going to say, and it has slipped through my head. So let's just get into spoilers.
Okay.
yeah, I feel like it's impossible to talk about this movie without talking about the ending. Because you know that is M. Night Shyamalan's movies for the most part, right? Yeah. It's the twist at the end.
Yeah.
And the twist in this one is insanely stupid, at least for me. The whole Clover thing just felt so tacked on, not set up. And I had a really hard time with it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I thought it was going to tie into something, or that there was something that I missed. Like, as soon as, like, you know, that shot went off and it zoomed in on the guy's tattoo, and he's like, I thought that that was going to be like, ooh, we're going to, this turns out it ties into something that has been in the movies before, or was going to be alluded to in possibly another movie sort of thing. But the fact that they were like, hey, here's sort of an exposition dump, real quick, like right at the end, who these people are, what it all means, and what it means for the whole movie. Yeah.
And just to say real quick, I mean, there is a... I mean, it does feel like it's setting itself up for a sequel. M. Night Shyamalan has said that he has no plans on ever making another one.
Yeah.
And that this is the ending that he wanted from the very first Unbreakable movie.
Okay.
Which makes me really sad.
Yeah.
So one of the other things that I want to talk about, just with in regards to the ending, how did you feel about where the characters all wind up at the end? I mean, I know they all wind up dead, but
yes. I don't know. Like, it made me sad that that I kind of understand why. It was more of like a, hey, they need to die so that everyone else can be aware of what's happening. And I don't know, just the fact that they were all done in really, like, sort of mundane way. I don't know, I kind of liked the idea of, like, the mundane superhero. Like, that's kind of the, like, feel that I got from Glass, is that it made small things seem epic. And and I think it worked, too, because, like, yeah, that's 70% of the movie. You had the same sort of doubts that they did, because all the action was always small scale. Like, he throws a table at the start, and you're like, but that could be explained away. Like, they could just be both really strong. Like, they're not superhuman. Like, it was all, like, I don't know. I just think, yeah, the way it took small things and made them feel big, it made it feel, it just brought an epic feel to just really mundane things, which I really liked. And that's, you know, kind of what Unbreakable was all about too, was just that real life grounded superhero.
That's why that movie was so great.
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like they captured a lot of that still.
Yeah, no, I agree. The only one that I was disappointed by, in that I, like, because I enjoyed, I thought that, I don't remember his name, Kevin, right?
Yep.
Kevin is like the yeah. Yep. I thought that his character had a ending that made sense, and a death scene that made sense.
Yes, yeah. That was, yeah.
And I thought the same thing about Samuel Jackson's character.
He just gets smashed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And undone by his own masterminding. Evilness. Yeah. Yeah.
I did not think the same thing at all about Bruce Willis's, though.
Him just in a puddle.
Yeah.
But, well, that's what I mean, though. I felt like, for me, it was like that whole,
yeah,
oh, look, he's been undone by something so small and so simple. Like, how like, maybe I don't necessarily like it, but I can understand Shyamalan writing that and thinking to himself, oh, look, you know, someone so heroic and so amazing brought to such, you know, a simple tragic death that he just lands in a, you know, like, he probably thought he was an absolute genius and that it was very poignant.
I'm sure I'm sure he has that feeling a lot.
Yeah, for him to do that.
I wrote The Sixth Sense. I'm a genius.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's the thing too, with the twist, what you were saying about the twist. I felt like that the twist for me that I thought was good in the movie, because I think there was like three twists. There's the tacked on Clover tattoo group. There's, what was the other one?
There's the computer, like the all the images being streamed.
Yes, that one. I think he wanted you to predict that one. I reckon he wrote that in, was just like, yep, the audience will feel smart for figuring this out. Good. And then the one that I really liked was one that you think would have, which is what tied everything together.
Oh, yeah, the dad being...
Yeah, killed by Glass in the same train accident. Like, I thought that that was great, because that's the thing. He got you to focus on that other twist, that when that one comes, you're like, oh... Nice. I mean, you know, you could say as well that that's kind of tacked on, or, you know, he could. But I thought it was smart the way that was slipped in. Mm-hmm. So,
I think that out of all the things revealed, like out of those three, that is probably the most well done out of them. I don't remember at what, because it's been a couple weeks, I don't remember at what point I figured it out, but they're like, I remember turning over to Caitlin and being like, oh, he was in the train. That's what happened. Because Samuel Jackson says something weird that makes you think that they have some kind of history, when clearly in your head you're like, oh, they don't.
Well, because that's, like, there was allusions to it, and I was like, oh, like, what is the secret? But yeah, I never thought that it would have been born from the same incident. So I did have that question floating in my head, but that wasn't the answer that I was going to come up with for it. I thought it was something about Kevin's identity, but yeah.
I'll say one of the other things that I wasn't crazy about in the movie is I don't think that M. Night Shyamalan can write dialogue to save his life.
No.
And there are so many moments, so many jokes in this movie, or so many serious moments that feel funny because he is just such a bad writer.
Like really, I don't know. I kind of, in a way, I sort of like it because it just makes the movie feel different. It makes it feel but it doesn't. But no, I would never say that the dialogue is good.
Yeah.
But in a way, I don't know, it just makes it feel like it's its own quirky, weird universe. Particularly too at the start with, like, Bruce and his son. And it's so funny how long it takes you to figure out that, like, oh, that's his son, and that's the same actor. Even though he looks, like, he still looks very much the same, just his face is longer. Like, I don't know. But the dialogue that happens between them at the start is so clunky, and like him talking about Salt Bay and
it felt like a bad version of a Batman movie.
Really strange.
Which, speaking of, I don't know about you, but I loved it when they opened up on Bruce Willis's character. He hadn't just been inactive, and then all of a sudden there was the Beast, and he was I gotta get him.
Yeah.
He's been out doing stuff, and he has a following, and I don't remember what his character's name was, do you?
The Watcher, I think.
Yeah,
the
that's Watcher? What it was. Yeah. I think it was the Watcher.
No, the Overseer. The Overseer. Yep,
there we go.
Yeah.
The Overseer.
Yeah.
Those two things are comparable.
Yes.
Similar. I liked that he's been out doing stuff. I liked that his son has continued to play a role, because his son was the one that pushed him to accept his powers and his responsibility.
Yeah.
Outside of the crazy Samuel Jackson character following him around.
Yeah. And that was the thing too. I hadn't thought, because I wish I'd watched Unbreakable like right before I saw Glass, because I didn't. I still haven't watched it since, you know, I saw it years and years ago. But my girlfriend hasn't seen it either, so I need to watch it with her, because she really likes Glass. But what was the original point I was making is I forgot, just how much his son is invested in his father and being like, oh my gosh, my dad's a superhero, and how they played that against him. Like when that was happening in like when he's meeting with the psycho lady, psychiatrist, whatever. You know, for me, it was like, oh, yeah, that's right. He's like, but he's a fanboy, basically. And the way they sort of pointed that out was just like, look, you know, are you just along for the ride sort of thing? You know, are you enabling him rather than, you know, accepting things as they are and that he's not a superhero? Yeah. So I thought that was pretty
good. I do want to say that I think that some of the things that worked so well that you were talking about, like the subtlety of having, you know, these small things seem really big, is one of the things that makes the film the most endearing.
Yeah.
But I also think that its lack of subtlety in other parts is horrible.
Yeah.
And makes it difficult to watch. In particular, like, I know the movie's called Glass, but Samuel Jackson is not in this movie a lot.
Mm.
Or at least he's not doing anything yeah, in this movie.
He's just sitting and twitching his eye. And
yeah.
Yeah.
And until, like, the last, more than that, probably, like, 30 minutes. Mm. Then he starts kind of moving around and doing stuff.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff that he does is interesting, and then some of his, I don't know, I feel like once he enters the movie, it just throws away all of the, or not all of it, but a lot of the little stuff that happens. They just kind of dump on all that. And I know that the fight scene at the end is definitely small for it being a superhero movie.
Yeah.
But it's also way more grand than anything, or grand scale than anything that they've shown in any of the other two movies or in anything in that movie up to that point.
Yeah.
And I feel like once Samuel L. Jackson really enters the movie, it just kind of starts going downhill.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you agree or not, but that is just kind of how I feel. Like, they just hit you over, I mean, one of the things that makes Unbreakable and Split so special is that they are so, as you said, muted in their themes of actual superpowers.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that makes them so much fun to watch in this world where we now have DC and Marvel seeing who can outdo each other.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly Marvel's winning, but...
yeah. Goes without saying. Goes without saying.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels kind of disappointing that at the end of the movie, it felt like I was just watching another superhero movie.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like it's stripped away that subtlety to it. I get that. I feel that.
Yeah.
And
also pretty much all of Samuel Jackson's, like, speeches that he gives are where he's just like, it feels like he's just banging his head against the wall going, "We're superheroes. We're superheroes.
Yeah.
We're superheroes."
Yeah. Yep. Mm.
So a lot of that I felt let down by.
No, yeah, I guess, like, I hadn't thought about that enough to have an opinion on that, but I guess, yeah, from what you're saying, that does sort of make a lot of sense. Yeah, it does sort of take away and strip away from that. And I think that's what I was always worried about too, though, is just like, because I remember watching the trailers and the way it was being advertised, I'm just like, but it can't be this big explosive thing. Like, it's not going to be the way. And that's, I think that's why too, as soon as the movie started, I was so invested, because, yeah, for ages, it's just this, you know, oh, all these questions, rather than, you know, a Marvel movie where there's explosions and set pieces and all this massiveness that I was worried it was going to do. Because I was like, I don't know that Shyamalan could probably handle a big action movie. I don't know that he could do that. That he, you know, that he would have the
I feel, know, like, with knowledge. After Earth and Avatar, he's pretty much proven that he can't.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I was worried about with Glass. And then when it didn't do that, at least straight away, I was like, cool, good, thank you. You know?
Yeah. So, I don't know. I guess overall, I would say that I feel like Glass is worth watching because there are things, like we've talked about, I mean, there are things in it that are done well, and But I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's mostly worth watching if you're really having like an unbreakable fix. Because there is a lot of that stuff in the movie. It's just mostly in like the first half of the movie.
Yeah.
And then, and so I don't know. I guess if you really, really love Unbreakable and you really, really need more Unbreakable in your life and you don't care that the ending is stupid, then yeah, go ahead and
or even more Split. If you love James McAvoy doing his thing, like you definitely get a lot more of it, like in really good ways. He's incredible.
Mm-hmm. You get to see more of the people running around doing crazy people.
I love seeing
things.
That in the credits, his name and then just like a list of characters. It's hilarious.
Yeah, that was funny. All right. Well, I don't know. Do you have any final thoughts? Anything that you want to mention before we wrap up our discussion on Glass?
In five words, maybe.
All right. Let's hear your five word summary.
Glass in five words. It's a small scale epic.
All right.
Yeah. That's it.
Small scale. There we go.
Or and, literally not enough glass.
Yeah, no, that's kind of what mine is. Which I know I told you mine earlier, but it is too much water, not enough glass.
Yeah,
it's the that's the problem.
Very fitting.
All right, so I do want to quickly say that if you enjoyed this, I have a couple films that I would recommend. One of them is Dark Man. I don't know if you've seen Dark Man.
No, but is that he's like his face is wrapped up or something?
Yes.
Is that I've seen the cover for it, but I've never watched it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Sam Raimi like wanted to make a Batman movie and they said no. And so he just came up with this idea for this character that he thought would be a great comic book character, and then he made a movie.
Nice. Dark Man.
And it's really good.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. I mean, there are some very over-the-top superhero-type moments, but it's a superhero movie that has no existing...
like lore or background.
Yeah. So there... It's not adhering to any rules other than the ones that are in the movie. And although, I mean, don't get me wrong, it is much more over the top than Unbreakable. However, I also feel like Glass is much more... parts of Glass are much more over the top than Unbreakable. So if you enjoy those parts and you want to see them done, in my opinion, a lot better, then you should just watch Dark Man.
Yeah.
The other thing that I will say, or the other movie that I'm going to recommend real quick, and then I'd love to hear yours, is a film of M. Night Shyamalan's that I feel like gets crapped on a lot, and I really don't think that it deserves all the hatred that it gets, and that is The Village.
Yep.
I really, really like The Village, and I don't think that it deserves the bad rap that it gets. I think that there's a lot of stuff in it that works, and I think that I've seen a lot of columns recently since Glass has come out that Village is one of the unsung good Shyamalan films.
Yeah.
And so if you enjoy his kind of style, because I would argue that, you know, this muted style that we've been talking about is something that he brings to a lot of his movies. And so... Yeah, I would just say if you want to watch an M. Night Shyamalan movie that is pretty decent, I would recommend that you watch The Village.
Nice.
So, what do you got?
What do I got? Well, yeah, I kind of already said some of that stuff. You know, if you want more James McAvoy and you for whatever reason you haven't seen Split, see Split. That was great. On the nose cameos... if you like people that just have to put themselves in their movies, anything in the MCU is great. Rest in peace. Rest in peace, Stan Lee. We love you.
R.I.P.
But yeah, he he's always got to put himself in there because when you see Glass, you'll know exactly what we're talking about. I mean, technically, he already put himself in the universe in the previous movie, in Split. But so you know, in a way, it's a continuation of that. But very on the nose
and Unbreakable.
Is he? Because he.
Yeah, he went on. Because they referenced in an interview or online, he confirmed that he's playing the same character.
Yeah, still, that's right. Because he.
I think in all three movies, he doesn't die in Split, does he?
No. What?
Okay.
No, because he's in Glass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah.
He's playing the same character.
Yeah, because he mentions like, oh yeah, something terrible happened or whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, that is another horribly clunky exchange between him and Bruce Willis. When he's like, didn't I see you at the football stadium one time?
So drawn out. He's like, yeah, I'm good now. Like, I'm a good person.
Mm-hmm.
I changed my life around.
Oh, so
heaven
bad.
Forbid anyone. Yeah, anyway. But I guess. Yeah, I couldn't think of anything too obscure, but I guess a movie that is a bit old, like Shutter Island. I feel like, you know, it's got that same sort of feel where the suspense draws you in. Like you're invested in the character. You want to find out what's wrong. Or you know something just feels off, and so that's sort of what compels you to keep watching it is that you want to know what's really happening and what's up, and that sort of psychological aspect to it. Shutter Island, I think.
Yeah,
captures that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do want to say too that for me, a lot of the times I don't feel like the payoff makes the rest of the movie worth watching. And I recently rewatched Shutter Island, and holy crap, that is not the case with that movie, because I know that the payoff that you're kind of expecting the payoff, but they put it in such a way that just it's great.
Yeah,
the movie's awesome.
So good, man. There's so many movies that I have to watch now from this discussion. Like,
That's how I always feel. Whenever Donnie and I chit chat, I've always got like a laundry list of. Stuff to watch.
Yeah. I need to just take a month off of work and everything and just sit down and just watch a whole bunch of movies.
Oh, I totally forgot. I was going to tell you too. I haven't watched Unbreakable in a while.
Yeah.
I actually bought it on Blu-ray with the intention of rewatching it right before we went to see Glass. Have not opened the case.
Oh gosh. Must be done, sir. Must be done.
I know. We'll have to do another episode on Unbreakable or something. All right. So, we've never done this before. Either in real life or on this show. So, we're going to see how it goes. But we are going to pitch each other some movie sequel reboots, remakes, ideas. And just kind of see how it goes.
Yeah. I think you should go first.
All right, so let's start with, I'm just going to say it up front, I think that they should make a sequel to this called The Cloverfield. To Glass, sorry.
Okay.
They should make a sequel to Glass. Yes. They should call it The Cloverfield.
Yes.
It'll explore the Clover Agency, and then it could be a tie into the Cloverfield movie where they are... They're trying, like, an alien is rampaging through New York, and they're just like, no, it's not. Everything is fine. We're all normal people.
And the Abrams and Shyamalan are going to come together and make the... Because Cloverfield's J.J. Abrams' like child, isn't it? Yeah? It's his...
That's one of them, yeah.
Yeah. It's his... And hopefully, you know... Maybe he can... I don't know. Does he write good dialogue? His dialogue's all right. He can do the dialogue. Yeah. Shyamalan can do the
everything else.
the twists.
The twists.
Oh, gosh.
There we go.
And that would be the twist, is that it actually ties into a third franchise. That would be the twist at the end.
Oh. Yeah, no, it like a portal could open and either Superman or Captain America could just walk just through. Well, no.
Look, DC needs something to save it, so maybe.
Have you seen The Predator?
No. The latest one? No.
Yeah. All right. So, this isn't spoiling anything. Unless you just want, like, this is the original ending that they wanted to shoot.
Yeah.
And they just didn't do it.
Yeah.
So originally it was supposed to end with like a helicopter landing right where the end of the movie takes place, and Arnold Schwarzenegger was going to get off the chopper and point at the remaining people and say,
"Get to the chopper.
You need to come with me."
Oh.
Yeah, it would have been great if he said, "Get in the chopper." And then it was just going to end.
Oh.
And so that's what should happen, is that a time-traveling Terminator just needs to appear and go, "You need to come with me if you want to live." There we go. That's the line.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that's a series that definitely doesn't need another sequel.
Terminator. They're getting one. Terminator.
Yeah.
All right, what's one of yours?
So, I thought, yeah, because we did talk, like, sequels, and then I was like, but reboots. Reboots seem to be the thing right now. And so I thought The Matrix. And and hear me out, because, like, it just all fits canonically, because they literally can just call it The Matrix Reboot. And that fits. That works. It's, you know, computer speak. Reboot.
Well, it also fits because The Matrix Reloaded and The Matrix Revolutions.
Oh, and it's going to have both, that re. Yes.
They both start with R's.
That's right.
So The Matrix Rebooted also works.
Yes. And I hadn't actually thought much further than that, because I think purely in terms of puns. So all I got was as far as the title. I don't even know. Like, because that's the thing. It's this whole universe that I guess they kind of trapped themselves in that they've said, hey, you know, The Matrix is just this cyclical thing, so it's always going to be the same characters, the same things happening over and over again. So they can't even, like, they can't even go somewhere else and look at someone's different story. I mean, they kind of did that with, like, the Animatrix.
Whoa. Spoilers for The Matrix.
Oh, sorry.
I'm just kidding.
Sorry. Let me get into all of the convoluted spoilers there. With the Oracle and... No, was it the Architect? Oh, gosh.
The Architect and the Oracle.
She got rebooted. They couldn't keep the same lady.
Well, the original lady died.
Well, yeah.
And but then CGI, I found out that they were planning...
that they could do what they've been doing.
I was really bummed because I found out they were planning on doing that anyway. So, like, the third Matrix movie was just doomed from the start.
See, I don't understand. What is it like? Like, even like the I was talking to a girl the other day, because look, she's the kind of person that always has to be right. And so if I ever get any sort of any chance to prove her wrong, even then, like, she makes it so that she's not wrong. But still, like that you haven't proven her wrong. Like, it just feels like just like, oh, I just didn't know that yet, kind of thing. But that, you know, like with Rhodey in the Iron Man movies and how it changed to John Cheadle.
Oh, yep.
And she was like, no, it's always been that same guy. I'm like, no. And I looked it up and showed her a picture. I was like, this is the original guy. And she's just like, oh, but I was like, why do they do that? And why do they do it to the African-American characters? Anyway. That's pretty funny. Although...
Wait. So what's your premise for the reboot? Just like The Matrix again?
Just again. Just with better...
Better actors?
But that's the thing. The first Matrix is incredible. I love
it is.
The Matrix. Like, it definitely didn't need to go where it did. And the Animatrix can stay too. I liked the Animatrix, all the fun little side stories that it got to explore. I liked when they did that. There was, like, that wave of, like... anime anthologies. Like, they did it for Halo, they did it for Pitch Black or the Chronicles of Riddick. It was interesting. I like it when they do that, you know, you get to see these fun little side stories. But it's John Wick. Yeah, I don't know whether they
love me some John Wick.
Make it something different. But
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I wish that they, or I hope that they just do like what you were mentioning with the Animatrix, because I do. I also love the Animatrix. I think that is the best Matrix movie, is the collection of the Animatrix.
Yeah.
And I also really enjoy The Matrix Reloaded, or most of The Matrix Reloaded, and then the first Matrix is awesome, and then The Matrix Revolutions is just awful, because, I mean, they clearly had a setup going of revealing that, oh, he's just in another Matrix, and then instead, they, at the last minute, were like, no, he's just got magic powers for no reason.
Yeah.
But if they did do another Matrix movie, I wouldn't mind watching one like a prequel, but or like a side story about like a different character.
Yeah,
because I don't know if you ever played any of the Matrix video games, but the Enter the Matrix video game
followed the focused two. On,
yeah, Ghost and Niobe.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was kind of fun because you got to see, oh, that's what they've been up to this whole time,
playing along the same storyline. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and then it was also fun because there's one of the stories in the Animatrix that deals, I think it's the first one, or the CG animated Flight of the Osiris, I think it's called.
Yeah, that one.
That one deals directly with events in one of the movies, and so it's kind of fun because you get to be like, oh, that's how that happened.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't mind watching
it. It kind of had like a Rogue One vibe, where it was like, hey, here's this group of people that you know are gonna die, but you know they were integral,
this is how it happened.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind watching something like that.
Well, even if they did like a mini series, like that's the thing, because that would work so well, having that format where each, or even, you know, even something where it's like was it Black Mirror, where it's just these individual stories that don't necessarily have to be connected in any way, to do with the, where it's basically just the Animatrix, but you know, rather than all these different animation styles, it's you know, all live action or whatever. And
well, and you know that they did the same thing with Nolan's Batman movies, right?
Yeah, that was another one, because I was trying to think.
Yeah,
I was trying to think what
Gotham Knight.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, seeing all the different
variations
on, even just the way they made Batman look was just really cool. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was also really great. Yeah, that would be fun. I also just want to quickly say that I think that the sequel that people need, and that I have been pitching for years, is a crossover between Demolition Man and Con Air. and my idea that, so that, no, I've got
wait,
this
wait,
all
wait.
Planned
wait,
out.
Wait, just
all
let right. me. Demolition Man is the one where they're flung into the future, right? Wesley
yeah,
Snipes,
Stallone
Sylvester
gets,
Stallone, and like no physical contact. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that, and then Con Air, which is, in my opinion, the greatest movie ever made.
Love Con Air.
I love Con Air. It's so good.
I've never had any issues with it. Like growing up,
I will fight anyone to the death who says that Con Air is a bad movie, because it's amazing.
It's so good.
Oh, there's so much to love in that movie.
Like,
no,
so
okay,
imagery.
So this
there's so many things that you just remember. Like friggin', it's Danny Trejo, right? And like his arms get
Johnny
ripped off when the plane crashes because he's still handcuffed. And it's just his arms haggard. Like, that image stays with me forever. Like, it was gory, but it also at the same time wasn't gory, because they literally just look like mannequin arms. Like,
Well, I love that. I love that he's like, oh, they call me, or when they say they call you Johnny 23, right? And he's like, yeah, they'd call me Johnny or Johnny 500 if they knew the truth. And it just makes me laugh, because it's like, well, why don't you just call yourself that then? Or like, does he get a new tattoo, and does he change his name every time that he rapes someone? Like, I just have so many, it's just so great, it's so interesting.
Like,
anyway.
Well, there you go, he needs his own spin-off movie. The prequel.
I don't really want to see that.
True. That's a
at all.
But just, like, they have to make it PG-13. Like, they have to, like, that's the restriction. Like.
Well, okay, alright, so, really quick, this is my premise, is that Nicolas Cage gets frozen.
Sold.
For
you say, funding. I'm glad to granted. Hear.
He gets frozen using the same technology that they used to freeze Sylvester Stallone. Yeah. They also freeze Steve Buscemi because he's a massive serial killer and they're going to catch him again eventually. Uh-huh. And so those two get frozen. And at the end of the first Con Air, Cyrus, John Malkovich's character, is like zapped with electricity. So he becomes, somehow his essence gets captured. Who cares? Movie magic.
Yes.
And he becomes a literal computer virus. And by the time that Demolition Man happens, he finally gains enough power to be able to control everything. And so Stallone, using the same logic that they used in the movie Demolition Man, realizes who he is and is like, oh, we need to get a hold of Cameron Poe from Con Air. And then Nicolas Cage is like, well, I'm not doing this alone. I need my sidekick. And so they unfreeze Steve Buscemi. And then they all go after John Malkovich, who at the end of the movie escapes into a rocket ship and goes into outer space. And so then the third movie, or I guess technically the fourth movie, would be all of them hunting John Malkovich in outer space.
Oh my gosh. Space battles. That's...
And that's... I haven't gone much from there, but that's what I've got. So anyway... That's my pitch for I don't know, Demolition Air. That sounds good.
Demolition Air,
Con Man. Con Man doesn't work.
It's good. Man, it's con. Good because it's vague. Because people, you know, you want it so that people don't put it together. That's what it is. Like that's the thing. Like nothing on it. Just like some really weird, subtle, art house trailers that just intrigue you. And then you go and you're like, what the heck is this?
I've got it. I've totally got it figured out. We'll call it this. It'll be Demolition Air : Con Man.
Because it's not a good action movie unless there's, you know, a subtitle.
Yeah. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this has been your first appearance on the podcast. I hope you enjoyed yourself.
I've had a wonderful time. It's great.
Well, it's been great having you. I would also like to quickly say that if you enjoyed the show, please subscribe to the show, give us a positive rating, and listen to more whenever we get around to making them. I'd like to thank Caitlin Industries for editing our show. I'd like to thank Dr. Tub Thumper for doing our intro music, and as far as I know, he's not created any other music under that name, but you are welcome to try to find it if he has. I would also like to thank Preston Alexander for doing our art. He did the logo for our show, and you can find him on Instagram and Twitter under PRALX, I believe. You can follow us on Twitter at The Outer Frame. You can find our Facebook page, which is also just The Outer Frame. We now have a crappy website that's linked on our Facebook page. It's just the show, and then
is everything in Comic Sans? Is it that bad?
No, it's not. It's just like a copy paste website on Simplecast.
Nice,
but you can go look at it if you want. Eventually, I'll get around to making a real website or a blog page or something. We used to have a Tumblr, but we don't post on there anymore. And then, you can follow Donnie on Twitter as well, and his Twitter name is Dodgeon. I think the third? I don't know.
Like, spelt out the third, or like three I's, or...
You know, we got really specific into how to spell it in the last episode, so if you really want to know, just listen to the end of that, and he'll talk about it. So that works itself out. But anyway, thank you so much for listening, and... I'm not on Twitter, so don't... I mean, I do technically have a Twitter account. I have never been on it. Apparently, Donnie uses it to just post things that I don't agree with. So if you want to know things that I don't agree with, you can follow me on there. But I don't use it. So that has been our show. Thank you so much for listening, and have yourselves a wonderful evening. Goodbye.
Good night.
Okay. I'm hitting